He looked westward and saw the mirror image of the terrain they'd already covered. Sand dune piled upon sand dune in endless ranks that stretched seemingly forever. The sky was turning brassy as light reflected off the infinite desert. Ryder checked his mount. The animal was suffering, and for that he felt guilty. Worse than his feelings for young Smythe, in fact, for the poor animal had no choice but to carry them across this cruel environment. He used a clasp knife to remove a stone from the horse's hoof and adjusted the saddle blanket where the pannier straps were beginning to chafe. The animal's once glossy coat was dull and hung in flaps where its flesh had begun to waste away. He stroked the horse's cheek and muttered a few soothing words into its ear. There was no way any of them could ride their mounts. The animals were already struggling under their lightened loads. He took up the reins and started off. Ryder's boots sank to the uppers as he led the horse down the face of a dune. Sand shifted under them, hissing and sliding down the embankment and threatening to send the pair tumbling if either took a misstep. H.A. didn't look back. The men had no choice but to follow or die where they stood. He walked for an hour as the sun continued its inexorable climb into the cloudless sky. He'd tucked a smooth pebble between his teeth and tongue to try to fool his body that he wasn't severely dehydrated. When he paused to wipe the inside of his big slouch hat, the heat scorched the red patch of skin on the crown of his head. He wanted to go for another hour, but he could hear the men struggling behind him. They weren't yet at the point where he would consider abandoning them, so he led them to the lee of a particularly tall dune and began to erect a sunshade using the horse blankets. The men flopped to the ground, panting as he set up their meager camp. H.A. checked on Peter Smythe. The young man's lips were nothing but raw blisters that leaked clear fluid, and the tops of his cheeks were burned as if with an iron straight from the brazier. Ryder reminded him to only loosen his bootlaces. All of their feet were so swollen that to remove their boots meant they'd never get them back on again. They watched him expectantly as he finally took a couple of canteens from a saddlebag. He unstoppered one of them, and immediately one of the horses nickered at the scent of water. The others crowded over, and his own mount brushed its head against H.A.'s shoulder. So as not to lose even a single drop, Ryder poured a measure into a bowl and held it for the animal to drink. It slurped noisily, and its stomach rumbled as water reached it for the first time in 3 days. He poured out a little more and again watered the horse. He did this to all of them first, despite his own raging thirst and the angry glares of his companions. "They die. You die," was all he had to say, for they knew he was right. Having drunk only a quart of water each, the horses could still be cajoled to eat from the feed bags of oats one of them had carried. He hobbled them with leg ropes, and only then did he pass around the bowl for the men to drink. He was even stricter with their ration, each receiving a single mouthful before Ryder secured the water in his pannier. There were no protests. H.A. was the only one of them to have crossed this desolate wasteland before, and they deferred to him to see them through. The shade of the horse blankets was pitiably small compared to the searing oven that was the Kalahari, one of the hottest and driest places on earth, a land where the rain might fall once a year or not for many. As the sun beat the earth with hammer strokes of heat, the men lay in torpid lethargy, shifting only when the shadows moved with the revolving sun to expose a hand or leg to the brutal onslaught. They lay with their all-consuming thirst, and they lay with their pain, but mostly they lay with their greed, for these were still motivated men. Men close